We've been talking about praying in tongues and trying to, from the scripture, answer questions and tackle some of the confusion that's out there. Today, with social media, you'll find many different opinions about everything and even about praying in tongues. There's people who have all kinds of opinions about praying in tongues and misinterpret the scripture, and they don't even pray in tongues, and they're trying to correct us on how we should pray in tongues. There is rules for praying in tongues, and we're going to tackle some of that today and help to maybe dissolve some of the confusion for you or for others, where you can have answers. I remember years ago when I was a young man, I was part of a church that prayed in tongues. But as a youth pastor, I was part of a group of people. Even before I was a youth pastor, it was a group of people in the school that had a meeting in school when I was in 12th grade, where we would meet as Christians. And one of the leaders there was a good man, did a good work, but on tongues, he didn't believe that tongues was for everyone. Now, in his defense, he had to kind of play neutral to everybody because he was working with many different churches. But when it came down to tongues, his solution was, tongues is not for everyone, Alan. And that was out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 30. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Alan, tongues is not for everyone. That's the scripture. Now, if you got it, Alan, that's great. God bless you. Use it. But don't tell others that they can have it too. Only God decides who He wills to have it. And so, it took me a long time to get the right answers. So, I wish I could tell my younger self the answers I know now. Let's tackle that one today. Do all speak with tongues? It's a rhetorical question. So the answer to that verse is no, not all people pray in tongues. So we have learned that there are diversity of tongues in the body of Christ, meaning there's different types of tongues, and each tongue has a different purpose and different rules, how it operates and how it can operate. And so those four diversity of tongues are, three are giftings. Whenever you see the word gifting, that means a gift of God upon you to help other people. There's three of them are giftings. Three of the tongues for the church, so the diversity of tongues for the church are for other people, not for you. And they have rules. First, let me tell you what they are. There's tongues for interpretation. That's when you're in a church service and someone gives a tongue, and then someone else or you give an interpretation, not a translation, but interpretation of what God is saying. So it's like a prophecy. It's like God speaking to the crowd or to a person. The second gift is the tongue for intercession. That's when you're praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, you feel that tongue change, and what God's doing is He needed help with someone else. He's using your tongue, your prayer, your voice to intercede for something or someone else. He does that to you. You don't get to choose that. And finally, there's the tongue, which is a sign for the unbeliever, and that's when you are talking to someone, and you speak in tongues, and they understand that it's in their language. It's perfect. And it's a word of God to them, also kind of like a prophecy. Those are the three gifts of tongues in the church. You don't get to choose when it happens. You have to yield to it, but you don't choose when it happens. You cannot make it happen. It's at the timing of the Lord, and if that gifting is upon you. Now, there's another tongue for the church, which is our personal prayer language. It is a gift, like it's a free gift, but it's not a gifting. It's the person of the Holy Spirit praying through you. Now, that has different rules. The rules of your personal prayer language is for everyone, and you can pray as often as you want. The Holy Spirit is waiting for each believer to spend time praying in tongues so He can edify them and encourage them and strengthen them. And so those are the four diversity of tongues. One of them is for everyone. It has its own rules and its own purpose. It's to edify you. The other three are giftings that are for the edification of the church. And you don't get to choose when you can turn that on or turn it off. And so it's important when we read in Scripture, pray in tongues, that we interpret which tongue is he talking about? Because each tongue has a different rule. I'll show you what Paul says here in chapter 14. We're going to deal mostly in chapter 14. We'll dip into chapter 12 a little bit. But in we'll start in verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Okay, so there's tongues, and it says it doesn't profit anyone unless it is revelation or knowledge or prophesying or teaching. Those things, revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching, edify other people. Tongues edify you, your personal prayer language. Now look here in verse 7. Everything without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. So every tongue is like an instrument. In other words, if I were to look at the church, it'd be like an orchestra. Every gifting is different. And everyone has the ability to pray in their personal prayer language. So each gifting, each tongue has a different purpose and a different rule, much like a flute's different than a harp and a harp's different than a trumpet. And if you play it wrong, out of its purpose, it doesn't work. It sounds weird. It's confusion. If I take a flute and I blow in the hole on top instead of the right hole, it's going to not work. You got to play it the right way. So we're going to call today, just for today, our personal prayer language, we're going to call it a flute. That if you play it right, it's beautiful, it's wonderful, it will edify you and strengthen you. It'll change your personal world. Then the gift of interpretation. That's what Paul mostly deals with here in chapter 14. He's actually trying to compare your personal prayer language versus the tongue for interpretation for the church. That's most of what he does here in chapter 14. He compares the two. The gift of tongue for interpretation is when someone gives a tongue in a church service and someone else, or that even that person, has the interpretation. Now, I've been in church services. We had one minister who was a little insecure when I was younger. I was a pastor, associate pastor. And there was another associate pastor who was older than me, and he was equal to me. We were both associates. So I couldn't really correct him, but he was insecure. He was constantly wanting people to notice him as being worthy of God or spiritual. And so for a while there, until the pastor actually corrected him, during the service, if the praise and worship got quiet, he would walk up, grab the microphone, and there was no surrounding awareness. He was not aware of the volume of the worship at the time. The worship was usually nice and quiet, and just everyone was relaxing, and all of a sudden, he'd walk up, grab the mic, and he would belt out the loudest tongue you ever heard. It was just so loud, it would blow your eardrums off, and everyone snapped out of worship instantly and looked at him, and he'd give a tongue, and then he would wait for the interpreter. And at first, one time he handed me the mic, and I didn't know what to do. I panicked, and you know, I was young, and it was new to me. And so to save the service, I just said a nice thing, the best I could do about what I thought God was trying to say. But I can't say I really interpreted. I just kind of saved the moment. Well, he did that again, and he walked up and grabbed the mic in another service, and shaka-ka-bo-bo-bo, real loud, and everyone snapped to and looked at him, and he waited for someone to interpret, and then he looked at me, and I looked away and looked down at the floor and said, no, I don't have nothing. Don't give it to me. Finally, after about a few minutes of no one interpreting for him, he just interpreted himself. You know, we've all had kind of some crazy experiences with spiritual things. So, you know, God bless everyone who's at least trying. But when the church is in order, it's a healthy thing. Here, the church was not in order. The church was out of order. They were mixing up the rules of tongues. They were taking their personal prayer language and taking a whole church service and praying in tongues. So can you imagine advertising, welcome to our church, come and be blessed. And some unsaved person walks in and all they see is everyone praying in tongues for the whole hour. Well, that's going to be confusing. Even it says later on, they'll think you're crazy. You know, or if someone grabbed the microphone and spoke in tongues for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and everyone just looked at them, not edified, wondering what's going on. Well, we want the church to be in order. The world needs to see a church that's led by the Spirit. Everyone's led by the Spirit and not led by their own agenda or by confusion. I've heard a lot of people in the non-tongue-talking world criticize tongue-talkers for praying in tongues in a church service. And sometimes it's warranted, but many times it's even they're out of order. Like, it's okay when you come into my house, when I invite you into my house, for you to eat my food, for you to drink the soda that we give you, the pop that we give you. It's okay for us to be us, but we want to have it in the right category. So if I have a prayer time where we pray in tongues together for 5 minutes, if I say to the church, hey, we're just going to pray in tongues, and I explain to the church, so those who are uninformed know what we're doing. Hey, we're going to take 5 minutes and just pray in our heavenly language or sing in our heavenly language, then that's perfectly fine. The confusion was they'd have a advertised church service, invite friends who are not saved, and just pray in tongues for the whole time. And that person sat there wondering what's going on, where if they would have let the Lord prophesy through them or have an interpreter, if there was a gifting of tongues with interpreter, that uninformed person would have been edified and brought to Christ. That's God's goal, to bring everyone to Christ. So we just have to do it the right way. So if you're going to have a whole 2-hour prayer session as a church, don't advertise it to the lost. If someone comes in, let them know what you're doing. And it's perfectly fine. If you want to sing in tongues in your church for a few minutes, no problem. If you want to pray in tongues while you're preaching and you pray in tongues for a few minutes, it's no problem. The confusion comes when we take over the whole service and that person leaves unedified. That's the problem. Not the action of praying in tongues in front of an unbeliever. That's not really a problem unless you do it too much. All right. I got that rant out of me. Let's read over in 14. We'll start in verse 4. So every tongue has a different purpose. It's played differently. We'll call your personal prayer language for today the flute, and the gift of interpretation, we'll call that the harp. The flute, if I have a flute and I use it as a drumstick, I can tell you I'm playing the flute, but it's not making the music it's supposed to make. Well, same thing with praying in your private prayer language. If you're doing that from the microphone and trying to minister to others with it, you're beating it with the drum. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. Yes, you're using it, but you're using it the wrong way. Your personal prayer language is for you, and it's meant to edify you. If you do it right, it's beautiful. It's incredible. And people will see the fruit of it and wonder, how did you change? What's different about you? Why are you different? Well, I've been playing this beautiful instrument called personal prayer language, and it's beautiful. And the same thing where we'll call the gift for interpretation, which is equal to prophecy. And we're going to call that the harp, where you strum a harp. Now, if you blow on the strings of a harp, it's not going to make any music. It's not going to work. The harp has to be strum. It's different. It's a different instrument than the flute. Praying in your personal prayer language is a different instrument than tongue for interpretation. They have different rules. They're played differently. And if you do it wrong, it's going to add confusion. But if you do it right, it's wonderful and beautiful. So let's start in verse 5, then we'll come back to verse 4. Excuse me as I take my time in here, because I'm amazed how much confusion there is when it comes to praying in tongues. Well, I'm not amazed, because I didn't know it when I started out. Even amongst tongue talkers, it's funny how many tongue talking people don't really have the answers to articulate against an argument of praying in tongues. So I want to make sure you have the answers. Verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. So now we know that Paul wishes everyone spoke with tongues. That's your personal prayer language. But even more, that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Maybe you heard that before. Yeah, you know, I'm glad you speak in tongues, Alan, but, you know, prophesy is greater. So therefore, I want to be a prophet. I prophesy. I don't want to pray in tongues. I've heard that lots. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues. Indeed, he interprets that the church may receive edification. Now, if you're underliner, underline that word edification. If you're going to edify the church, prophecy is how you do it. You speak a word of the Lord to the people, what the Lord wants to say to them. And then he says that there is a tongue that if there's an interpreter, then it is equal to prophesy. It's the same thing, because you're edifying the people through a word from God. One is in your language, the other one is first in tongues, and then interpreted into your language. That's a gifting. So Paul here writes that a tongue, a gift of tongues, with the interpreter, a harp sound, is beautiful and equal to a prophecy. They're both the same. So now to clarify, we'll go to verse 4. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. If you want to underline, you can underline edifies. Edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So now we see the word edify. You can underline that one too. Your personal prayer language edifies yourself. Prophecy edifies the church. And that is key to understanding the two types of tongues that's compared here. Personal prayer language and the gift of tongues for the church service with an interpreter. So how can we know in Scripture what tongue is he talking about when he says tongues? Is he talking about the prayer language, or is he talking about the gift of interpretation? And later on we'll discover the intercession and the tongue for the unbeliever. But we're just going to compare the two today. The harp and the flute. They sound different, they're played different, and they're both beautiful if they're played right. The whole mission that Paul's directing here is, who are you edifying? What's your purpose? Do you want to edify yourself? Then that's your personal prayer language. If you want to edify the church, then that's prophecy or praying in tongues with an interpreter, the gift of tongues for that, the flute or the harp. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Who are you trying to edify in this moment? Is it the church? If it's the church, then you need to give them revelation, knowledge, prophesying, or teaching, something that builds them up, edifies them. If I'm trying to edify myself, then praying in tongues is how I edify myself. So it says here that if there's an interpreter with a tongue, that is the gift of tongues that edifies the church. That's a different instrument than your personal prayer language. Okay, so now, if I went to an international meeting, a business meeting, let's say I was a businessman and I went to an international business meeting, and I walked in and I kept talking to people in English, hey, how you doing? And half the people looked at me confused because they're international. They were from another country. And I got tired of just saying, hey, how's it going? My name's Alan. You know, I'd say, talk for 5 minutes. It's a business meeting, so I'm a sales guy. So I talk 5 minutes, and at the end of 5 minutes, they look at me and go, huh? They don't understand me because they speak a different language. So what the conference did is they hired a bunch of interpreters. And the interpreters all wore great big yellow t-shirts that said interpreter. And they assigned an interpreter for every foreign person, businessman, who could not speak English. We were in America. I'm making this up here. So we're in America. So English is the main language. And so they assigned each person from different countries. And there's many different countries. And they all had a yellow shirt, interpreter with a yellow shirt that said interpreter. Then when I walked up to someone and be standing beside them was a person with a bright yellow shirt that said interpreter, then I would know this is a foreigner who does not speak English. And I would look to the interpreter and I would say, how are you doing? And the interpreter would look at the person and say, tudo bem, or you know, say it in their language. And I'd wait for the response. The interpreter signaled that that was a foreigner to me. I wouldn't have to ask. I would know instinctively because there's an interpreter. Well, that's kind of a clue on how we can decide if this is the gift for interpretation or is this the personal prayer language in Scripture. Okay? So, let's read these two verses again, verses 4 and 5. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So, the prayer in tongues, your personal prayer language, if you want to be edified, what do you do? I pray in my personal prayer language. Great. If you want someone else to be edified, what do you do? Well, I prophesy. I speak a word of the Lord, or I give a tongue with an interpretation. And verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. So that the church may receive edification, prophecy is greater than your personal prayer language. Absolutely. So when someone says, yeah, I know that you pray in tongues, but it says that prophecy is better. Prophecy is more important. If you want to edify the church, you are correct that prophesying is more valuable than your personal prayer language. If you want to edify somebody else, if you want to edify the church, absolutely. But if your target is to edify you, then praying in tongues is more important than prophesying. And you hear people say, yeah, you need to interpret your own prayer language. Well, no, that's not correct. That is only for a church service. So look at verse 5 and you'll see at the end of verse 5 that the church may receive edification. So that the church may receive edification at the front of verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Why? That the church may receive edification. And then he says, "And greater, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, for the church to be edified, unless indeed he interprets." Oh, there we see the fellow with the great big bright yellow shirt that says interpreter. So when I see that bright yellow shirt person with the word interpreter standing beside the word tongue, that tells me what? That tells me that tongue he's talking about is the gift of tongues for interpretation. That is meant to be equal to prophesying, which is meant to edify the church, not to edify myself. That's the harp. Oh, the harp you strum and you play a certain way, you use your hands and your fingers. The flute you blow into and use your fingertips. Two different instruments. The harp, we're going to call, represents the tongue for interpretation. That is to edify the church. That is the gift of tongues, the gifting of tongues for edifying the church. That comes upon you only if that's your gifting and only when the Spirit wants it to happen. You cannot force it to happen. That one associate pastor, God bless him, I love him, but his insecurity, he kept trying to force it to happen. And because it's a foreign tongue, when he would speak in tongues really loud, no one knew if it was God speaking to them or him just praying in tongues or making it up. And so when you interpret it yourself, you can say all kinds of good things. God loves you. You're the best. You know, and God bless him in his insecurity. He was trying his best, you know, just a good man, but insecure. He tried to play the harp, but he played it wrong. He was blowing into the harp. And it sounded really loud and real crazy. So the instrument of the harp is what we're comparing to the gift of tongues for interpretation. That's meant to edify the church. It's like prophesying. And so when you read here, even in verse 2 or verse 1, pursue love, desire spiritual gifts. So when you see giftings, what's that for? For to help the church. If you desire spiritual gifts to be used to help the church, but especially that you may prophesy, because prophesying helps to edify other people. Then verse 2, but he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is your personal prayer language. We're using the flute to represent that today. That's your personal prayer language. That is powerful. That is important for you to edify yourself. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to man. So prophecy is about edifying, exhorting other people, not yourself. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So that's your personal prayer language. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So if you want to edify the church, you need to prophesy, speak what God's told you, or you need to have the gift of tongues for the church service with an interpreter. Your personal prayer language edifies you. The tongue for the church for interpretation edifies the church. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. But now, brethren, I come to you speaking with tongues. What shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or knowledge, by prophesying or by teaching? So if I speak to you in my prayer language, it's not going to profit you. Everything without life, whether flute or harp, whether when they are make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you'll be speaking into the air. To other people, that's what it's going to seem like. You're just speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world. None of them are without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So again, that's not saying that your prayer language is a foreign language. There are some non-tongue talkers and maybe some other tongue talkers who believe that when you pray in tongues, it's some other country in the world, some other person in the world, you're speaking their language. No, all praying in tongues is a heavenly language, except for the gift of tongues for the unbeliever. There is what happened in Acts. They were praying, the fire came down like tongues of fire upon them. The Holy Spirit did. They begin to speak with tongues. And when they were in the upper room, they all spoke with tongues. When they stepped out into public, it switched from their personal prayer language to the gift of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. And that's when they understood. They said, these guys are speaking in our language. How do they know that? This is a sign from God that they can, and there's what they're speaking, like what they were saying was something about God that the people hit the people and inspired the people to know Jesus. And so they said, they're speaking in our language. So some people will teach that, well, when you speak in tongues in your personal prayer language, it's like a foreign language. It's a language from another country. No. That's the gift of tongues is a sign for the unbeliever. That's not your personal prayer language. All other tongues, except for the gift of tongues for the unbeliever, is a heavenly language, is a language of heaven, or even of angels. Angels can understand it. That's your personal prayer language. Verse 10. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he shall be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church you seek to excel. So the motivation should be for the edification of the church. If I seek to excel, if I want to be used of God to help other people, then I want to edify them, not just myself. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. There's that word interpreter. Now, what happens whenever you see that word interpret? That's some person with a big yellow bright shirt with the word interpret across the interpreter across their chest. They're standing beside a tongue. That is the gift of tongues for interpretation, not your personal prayer language. Therefore, let him who speaks in tongue pray that he may interpret. That's not talking about your personal prayer language. That, if you pray in tongues, you need to interpret it or it does no good. That is wrong. No, you don't need to interpret what you're praying for yourself. You don't want to interpret because you will stop praying if you hear what God is praying for. You know, the Holy Spirit writes down a prayer for you to pray. You pray in tongues. You think you're praying for a new car and a new house. Praise God, I'm going to pray in tongues for 2 hours and God's going to give me a new car. And if you heard what you're praying, you may think you're praying for a new car, but you're really praying, the Holy Spirit's praying through you, death to your passion for a new car. That God, let me have more passion for serving you than I do for serving myself. Lord, help me to kill my passion for my own selfishness and live selflessly for you, God. Help me to be that person. That's the kind of prayer he's praying through you. You don't want to interpret that. No, the interpretation of tongues is for the church service. Verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now see, there's no interpreter beside that tongue. So that is talking about your personal prayer language. That's the two comparisons. 13 is talking about the gift of tongues with an interpreter. 14 is talking about your personal prayer language. And you may wonder, like I have, like, well, God, why is this so, why are there so, it's all kind of confusing, not confusing, but why is this such a mystery? Why do we have to figure the puzzle out to really understand these scriptures? Well, the scripture was written as a puzzle because it's meant for those who are hungry, for those who are seeking God to understand. And there's reasons for it. Part of the reason is that God just can't snatch up the world and bring them to himself. They have to choose to find him, because the same way Adam chose to step into sin, you and I have to choose to step out of sin into life. There's part of the puzzle of Scripture that if you pray in the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to see these things. So God's not necessarily trying to just keep all these secrets from people, but he's trying to give it to those who are hungry, who've pressed into him for answers. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. When I pray in my prayer language, my inner man, my spirit man prays. My spiritual mind is filled with truth. My natural understanding is left unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray in the spirit and I will pray in the understanding. I will sing in the spirit and I will sing in the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless in the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? So again, this prayer is in a church service, a church setting. If I pray in the Spirit, I also pray in the understanding. So if we pray in the Spirit, we also pray in the understanding. So the uninformed are also edified. And if I sing in the Spirit, I used to love when our church would sing in the Spirit. We would sing a church song and all of a sudden singing in the Holy Spirit would break out, and we're all just kind of singing, speaking in tongues to a musical flow. And I always loved that. It was so wonderful. When I was 18 years old, I experienced that. And then we would do our regular songs. That's kind of what it means. Not so much every time you speak, you pray in tongues. You know, hey, if you're going to pray in tongues for 4 hours, 2 hours should be in tongues, 2 hours should be in your understanding. That's not what it means. It means in a church service, a church setting. Verse 17, for indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. If you only pray in tongues in a church service, you're edified, but the people around you are not. I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So Paul is not encouraging people not to pray in tongues. He's actually encouraging people to pray in tongues. He wishes they all prayed in tongues. He is trying to get them to use the tongue and play it the right way. If you're going to play the flute, play it right, please. Play it the right way so it's beautiful. Don't use it as a stick on a drum. Use it like it's meant to be played. And if you're going to play the trumpet or the harp, please play it the right way so it's beautiful and it encourages and edifies people. And don't just make a confusing mess. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is giving us a clue about his life here. Pastor Dave talked about this, and it was incredible. Verse 18 and 19, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than you all. So he was a tongue talker. I pray in tongues a lot, boys, more than all of you. Yet, in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. And Pastor Dave broke this down one day to say that he believed that meant that the ability to get understanding of God from praying in your personal prayer language was kind of this equation. If I pray in tongues for 10 hours or 10,000 words in tongues, that will give me 5 words of pure truth understanding where I could articulate to you that truth. And so as preachers, we want to preach from that truth. That those 5 words of understanding are like gold. That's powerful words of truth that come from God. But the way you get that understanding is from praying in tongues, where your spirit man gets it first, and then it teaches your outward man the truth. It makes your outward man submit to the truth. So when you pray in tongues, you edify yourself. Now, one more verse here, and we're going to go over back over to chapter 12, and we're going to look at that verse here. We'll start in verse 29 and 30. These are rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Well, no. Are all workers a miracle? Are all evangelists? No. All of our callings, our jobs are different in the body of Christ. Do all have the gift of healings? Well, no. Do all speak with tongues? Well, no. But then look what's standing beside, do all speak with tongues? Oh, there's a big, bright yellow shirt that says interpreter. Do all interpret? So because the bright yellow shirt is standing beside the tongue, we know that that is the gift of tongues for interpretation, which is equal to prophecy. That is for public use. The rules of that are you don't get to just walk in it. You can't make it happen. You have to be called to it. And that calling is specific. It doesn't bounce around. It's specific to a person. It comes on you because you're called to that. My hand doesn't try to do what my heart does. Say, well, today I'll be the heart. I'm tired of being the hand. No, the heart is the heart. It has one job. The hand has one job. And so that calling is specific to certain people. You may not have that calling. You may never have a tongue for interpretation in a church service. You can do all those other things. You can prophesy. You can teach revelation, teach knowledge, teach people the word of God. But the gift of tongues, the gift of prophesying, these giftings are specific to callings. Whenever you see the big, bright, yellow shirt that says interpreter, that tells you that, oh, that tongue is for the gift of tongues, which is a calling on certain people and not everybody. So when someone comes up to you, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, I'm glad you're praying in tongues, but that's not for everybody. That's only for certain people. And good for you. You got it. I didn't get it. I prayed God baptized me in tongues if you want to, but God did not zap me, so it's not for me. You can say, oh, wait. Oh, look, there's a big, bright yellow shirt standing beside it that says interpreter. That tongues, where it says, do all speak with tongues? No, that tongue is the gift of tongues for interpretation. That's not your personal prayer language. That's the harp. So don't tell me to use the harp rules on my private prayer language. The private prayer language is like a flute, plays differently, and it is for everybody. Every person can pray in tongues if they desire. The Holy Ghost will teach them and mentor them, edify them, strengthen them, teach them just by spending time praying in tongues. Well, I hope I blessed you. I hope you've learned a little bit with me today. As we go through this, there's lots of confusion out there. We don't need to be confused. We can know the truth, learn the truth in a healthy way, and keep edifying ourselves by praying in tongues. Love you. Thank you for spending time with me. I'll see you again soon. God bless.